everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Family Office Success Podcast, where we talk all things family office. I am your host, Christy Van Wright, and today we're diving into what I think is an intriguing topic that is highly relevant for family office firms, that is navigating the waters between capacity and bandwidth in family office services. Before we get started, I want to say thank you for tuning in and joining our conversations. Our goal with this podcast is to provide valuable insights, thought leadership, and strategies to help family offices and other firms to succeed in delivering exceptional service to affluent families that you support. So thank you for joining the conversation. Please continue to do so. Let's jump in. So first, let's define capacity and bandwidth. In the world of family office services, you'll often hear the terms capacity and bandwidth used interchangeably. In fact, in most cases, you will hear them used interchangeably. But while they sound familiar, they actually represent very distinct concepts that can have a significant impact on the quality of service that a firm provides. So what do we mean here? Let's break this down. Capacity. Capacity is essentially a firm's potential. It's about how many clients a firm can serve well and how deep and comprehensive those services they offer can really be. So think of capacity as the foundation that enables a firm to deliver value to families. There's five key elements in my mind that make up a firm's capacity. And the first is expertise, having skilled professionals who can efficiently handle complex tasks. The second is technology, having a robust tech infrastructure to automate those routine work and streamlined processes. The third is workflow efficiency, having well-defined processes and procedures that will reduce inefficiencies, but more importantly, reduce errors. The fourth is resource allocation. And this one sounds simple, and yet it can be quite challenging. It is putting the right people on tasks that align with their strengths. If you are an EOS follower, it's the right people in the right seats at the right time. The fifth element is scalability. And that is being able to scale services up or down without compromising quality. So a quick recap, what makes up a firm's capacity? Expertise, technology, workflow efficiency, resource allocation, and scalability. These really are going to define a firm's potential to move forward with family office services. And the more a firm can optimize each of these areas, the greater its overall capacity to serve clients at a much higher level is going to be. Now, let's talk about the other side of this coin, which is bandwidth. If capacity is a firm's potential, bandwidth represents the finite resources available to actually deliver on that potential at any given time. So the elements here are, first, human resources. It's the people doing the work and their availability to do that work. It's workload balance. It's evenly distributing work to give each client the proper attention. So it's not necessarily balance on your human resource side, it's balanced to make sure that clients get the right attention. The third thing is specialization, and that's how team members' specific expertise can impact your overall bandwidth. The fourth is time constraints, and that is managing time effectively because it is your ultimate limited resource. The fifth is client needs. So accommodating varying client demands can strain your bandwidth, and being aware of that is necessary. So if capacity is about a firm's overall potential, bandwidth is about the relationship and the real-time resources that are available to fulfill that potential for clients. It's the human resources. It's the workload balance. It's specialization. It's time constraints and it's client needs. And it's much more of a dynamic concept that fluctuates based on these elements. Let's talk about how you balance capacity and bandwidth. As family office firms grow and evolve, you know, striking that right balance or striking a balance between capacity and bandwidth becomes increasingly important and frankly, increasingly challenging. You know, expanding capacity too much without growing bandwidth, you risk overextending your team and seeing service quality decline. If you focus solely on increasing bandwidth without optimizing capacity, you may end up with underutilized resources and, quite frankly, missed opportunities for growth. So the key is to find that Goldilocks zone, not too much capacity, not too little bandwidth, but just the right balance to sustainably serve clients well, while also positioning the firm for ongoing success. Imperative to be able to strike that balance to do both of those things. How do you do that? Here's a couple of ideas. The first, invest in technology. Use tech to automate and create efficiencies that can free up the bandwidth of your team, your resources. It's getting better every day. It's never going to replace, I say never, should never. So you should never say never. It is unlikely to replace team members and resources anytime soon. But what it can do is very, very quickly and efficiently make sure that things are happening when they should be happening, by whom they should be happening, and that the client is getting what you've told them that they are going to be getting. So invest in technology, but know why you have a piece of technology. Don't get it just because it has a good marketing program. Get it because it fits a very specific piece of in your tech stack. The second is prioritizing specialization. So we talk a lot about this in the, do you insource or do you outsource? That's another podcast and another topic, but the high level here is you need to build specialized expertise to serve more clients with similar needs. So the more clients you have doing one thing, like bill pay, for example, you want a specialist that is only doing bill pay because they're going to be quicker at it. They're going to be more efficient, and they're also less likely to make mistakes or let things fall through the cracks because they are specialized in it. That is all they're doing all day, every day. So prioritize specialization roles. It's great to have generalists. Go a little bit deeper and or outsource if you don't have enough clients, you know, utilizing that service. Outsource it until you do. There are people that will take care of it for you. The third thing here is you've got to continuously monitor workflows, like regular reviews, regularly looking to refine processes and reduce bottlenecks. I can tell you in our firm, it feels like we talk about this on a daily basis. That's probably an exaggeration, but it might not be actually, because it is so incredibly important to us that as we learn, as our tech gets better, as AI gets better, and as we work, you know, and get more familiar with clients, specifically new ones, but even clients that we've had for years, things change. And so it's so important that we are always looking to simplify processes to a point where we can't reduce anything, we can't remove anything additional, but we are doing everything that we need to ensure that nothing falls through the cracks. So because things are constantly changing, we are constantly looking at how do we refine our processes. If there's a place that we get to where I am now comfortable with the person on my team, maybe they're new, maybe they're learning. Once we get to a place that I know that they know their job and they know their specialty, I'm going to remove myself from a specific workflow because maybe I'm just checking in on them or checking in on the process. I'm helping them, teaching them. Have as many checkpoints in your process that you need to make sure that work gets done correctly to reduce errors. Don't have any more than you need. So this is just a continuous conversation in our firm about how do we get better by simplification. The fourth thing, quite frankly, is the simplest and yet the hardest, and that is managing client expectations. And if you've been in this business for very long, you know why I say that it is the simplest and yet it is the hardest thing to do. But clearly communicating service levels, response times, and quite frankly, your resource availability will go a very long way. Believe me, we've been in that situation where I wanted nothing more than to be able to respond to a client in short order, but we didn't have the resources necessarily in that moment, nor did the client necessarily follow what service levels that we had set out beforehand. So sometimes the best of intentions here doesn't always follow through, but when you can set those communication and those service levels up front, sometimes it is what it is. Something happens and a wire's got to go out inside the hour. Look, just get it done. But the more communication you can have ahead of time, hey, we're investing in this private equity deal. Oh, do we have documents? Great. Let's pull those into the system. Do we know when we think we might be funding? Let's make sure there's cash available. Are you going to be able to approve this wire? Do you need us to approve this wire? Getting ahead of some of those things will absolutely go a long way to helping you and your firm and your team just stay on top and still come out looking, you know, absolutely being in the client's corner to get something done, but helping you manage those, manage that bandwidth for your firm. So striking that balance, invest in technology, prioritize specializational roles, monitor your workflows, be ready and willing to refine them consistently, and then manage client expectations. I think by proactively employing some of these strategies, a firm really can optimize your capacity and bandwidth balance over time. Of course, this is a navigational process on a very windy river that often involves learning through real-world experience. And so just know that going in, if you are new to this world, new to providing family office services, specifically on the administrative side, these more detailed roles, ask for help. There are firms like ours. There are others out there who are more than willing and would love to help you figure some of this out on the front side to keep some of those errors and inefficiencies down. It's not good for any of us when a client doesn't have a good experience in family office services. So if you haven't done it before, ask for help. It's out there. And I think more people have a similar thought process to us, which is we all get better. When we all get better, clients are the ultimate winners, but we're pretty close behind them because we all win too. So a couple of just real world examples to illustrate the importance of balancing capacity and bandwidth. The first is a firm that we worked with. I'm gonna call this example one, growing pains. This is a firm that went through a period of very rapid growth, and they were able to dramatically expand their capacity and take on new clients in a very short time frame. What they quickly realized, though, was that their bandwidth wasn't keeping pace. And so to course correct, the firm took a couple of key steps. And that was they analyzed and restructured workflows to boost efficiencies. They simplified. They reassessed their human resource allocation to better leverage expertise. They put the right people in the right seats. That was something that came out in this kind of analyzing really what was happening, was really looking at people and roles. They invested in some training to expand their professionals on the team to get more specialized roles. That kind of also came as part of this assessing their people. They realized that there were a couple of folks who they, you know, loved, and they kept on staff, but they weren't in the right role. And not only was that decreasing some efficiencies, but those folks weren't excited about what they were, you know, what they had gotten asked to do. They just felt like they needed to do it because they had been asked to. And so the key for this firm was really to look at who they had on the team and look at their processes and procedures. And at the end of the day, you know, they streamlined those. They got better training for the team that they did feel like was the right person in the right job. They just got them a little bit more training on the tech. Interestingly enough, this firm also committed to ongoing tech upgrades. to stay very efficient over time. And they did that as much from a firm level as an individual level, because they had the buy-in of these folks that are doing these specialized roles. When they kind of came out of this several month project, I'll call it, they came out, not only did the firm come out much stronger, their team came out much stronger. And oddly enough, they realized that they needed a more of a gradual phased in onboarding process. So rather than telling the clients, yep, we're going, we're moving, we're doing it all right now, they wrote out a phasing or an onboarding plan for the clients, and the clients have loved it. They've been so happy. They know it's coming and they understand the reason behind the plan. The second example that I'm going to give you is what we're going to call a specialist's dilemma. And this was a firm with a few very highly specialized service teams that were core to the business. Think tax, investments. As you can imagine, these teams were extremely in high demand, which kind of began to strain the bandwidth of the firm. And so the leadership, again, looked at where the team members' time was being allocated and how they were functioning together. So they wanted to continue expanding their services, but they knew that they weren't going to be able to keep the current clients they had without figuring out how to make sure that these critical needs were met first and foremost. So they actually decided to adopt an open platform model. So they brought in an external partner they outsourced to supplement some of those specialized services. This resulted in the results of this spoke so well to outsourcing, because within 6 months, clients were raving about how much easier it was to get things done. They were sending referrals. The internal staff was happier. The clients were happier. It was absolutely, a win on all sides of this arrangement. But what made this so successful is the family office firm and the outsource, the folks that they outsourced to, they presented a united front. So when they came to the client, they had to have the conversation about fees. They had to have the conversation about resources, but they came with a united front. They communicated in a united way what the benefit was going to be to the client. No client questioned it, for the record. Every client was at first kind of did the, okay, well, that's interesting. The more they got into the conversation, every client got it. And within a very short 6 months, raved. So it was nerve-wracking for that family office firm to do that. I saw it happen. I know it was nerve-wracking, but they stuck to it. And I mean, you just, the results for this particular group could not have been better. The other benefit, actually, this firm was charging in a way that they didn't have a whole lot of extra room to add services. So they were doing an AUM model and with a little bit on the side, but it wasn't a separate agreement. It was really more just kind of bigger projects. They really wanted to be able to absorb a lot of the work under the fee that the client was already paying. And at the time, when they went back to look at their bandwidth, what they absolutely saw right off the bat was they needed the right people in the right seats, but that meant that they couldn't do everything. And so they were taxing the current team, their current staff, to do all of these things to try and stay inside this AUM fee number. And they were at capacity. So they started tracking hours. I know it's everybody's favorite, but when they did that as part of this review process, it was clear they were not making money from a time to hour ratio because of all of these extra services they had added. And so this, that was an eye-opening moment for this firm, But what it did, you know, they could go two ways. They could shut down and they could say, nope, we're going to keep doing it. We're not willing to change. We're not willing to have those conversations with clients. Or we're going to have a very honest conversation with clients and we're going to let the chips fall where they may, because we know that we cannot continue to operate like this from a business perspective and grow the business and pay bonuses and do and be better, because there's no room there to do that. And so this, you know, coming to clients, talking about the benefits, being united, it allowed that firm to untangle their fee structure. They now have separate service agreements. They continue to operate very cohesively. The clients, at the end of the day, yes, they signed separate service agreements. I'm pretty sure if you asked any of those clients today, how many firms or, you know, do you have working for you right now? They would say, we have one, because it's so cohesive. And so they worked hard to make sure that showed through in such a positive light. And then to continue that on, that the clients, that it doesn't even cross their mind that it's separate firms. Now, that takes work on the back end, without question. That doesn't come organically necessarily. It takes work, but it can be done if that's where you're going. So them recognizing those limitations and then proactively navigating the challenge, they, you know, both of these firms that I have referenced here today, they figured it out. They continued delivering, you know, top-notch service, and more so than that, that they're creating space for ongoing growth and the demand, which is just incredible to watch. These were two stories that worked out very well. There's umpteen stories that it doesn't work out well for. And again, that's another podcast about what can go wrong, but it can go right if you are open to seeing it, turning it on its head, and, you know, really, really taking a hard look at who and what is in front of you and in front of your team, and making sometimes big changes, sometimes small changes. Sometimes it really doesn't take that much. So, you know, as we wrap up today's discussion, I want to reiterate the core idea of where we started, which is understanding capacity and bandwidth, and that balancing the two is just absolutely essential for a family office firm. And it's about finding that sweet spot where you can consistently provide exceptional service while making sure that the firm has is around for long-term success and is adaptable. So as you reflect on these ideas, you know, consider where your own firm currently stands. Are you more capacity constrained, or are you more bandwidth constrained? What steps can you take now to start optimizing the balance of your firm? And keep in mind, small incremental improvements in the right direction really can compound into very significant results over time, and ask for help if you need it. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Family Office Success Podcast. I hope this discussion has sparked some valuable insights for you and your firm. If you like it, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And please join in the conversation on LinkedIn. Together, we'll keep exploring how family office firms can navigate capacity and bandwidth to deliver even more value to the families that we serve. Thanks so much.